Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jocelyn and Tanea.
Turn out the light.
Light a candle. I wish you had sang Feel the Fire.
I just love that song. I love Teddy Pendergrass. Sorry, y'all.
Well, welcome back. Happy season 4, everyone. We are back. It is Jocelyn and Tanea with We Watch Too Much TV season 4.
Oh my God. I can't believe you've been doing this for 40 shows.
Yeah.
Like, almost another.
I'm proud of us.
Season. Yes. It's so much TV out and I'm so excited. So like I had a hard time because it's like I've watched so much. What do I want to talk about? So that's why I did
a good job at keeping I already started my notes from when we did our last show. Cause I was just like, I already know I'm gonna be consuming so much TV. Then when it comes time, I'm gonna be like, what do I want to talk about? So I literally only just put like shows that like stood out to me, but even some I haven't been thinking of. You're going to go over them. And so we'll be able to get it going. But it was a nice break. But so much has been going on television wise.
And our shows are back. Shout out to the writer's strike being over. Yeah. I feel like we can have a whole new plethora of my dramatic shows. So I'm really, really excited. They start this week. So I'm ready.
Yeah, all my shows. I mean, I'm looking forward to what that's going to bring about. Because I mean, just on our side, as a journalist, because I've had to cover it, a lot of these networks are getting called out for just the drawbacks that they're doing from pledges that they made in 2020 when it was like a trend to care about Black people. So you are seeing, as it even relates to scripted shows with predominantly Black casts, being wiped out. So I'm here to see if there's going to be anything scripted that resonates with me as a Black woman. But it's nice, you know, again, it's nice and whatever wins we can get, I'll take them. I will take them. But with that being said, what's been going on with you? What's been happening? How's work?
Life is lifing. Work is very busy. My son is in the back. He wants to come inside, but the podcast is not about him.
Right.
Just been busy. A lot of TV, a lot of like, so much is happening in my life and I'm trying to like organize it, but it's beautiful. It's great.
Yes.
I'm blessed, but it's very busy. How are you?
Same. I am in a place of adjusting to new chapters that are coming. So also wanting to just make sure everything is organized, but also at the same time, making sure that I am embarking on goals that I have for myself professionally, personally, just because as I enter a new chapter, I want to make sure I'm still being true to myself and the things that really set my heart on fire. So, but again, those are all good things. It's blessings and to just take every ounce in every way that you can. And enjoy
it. That year for everybody. I feel like everyone I know is just like change, like different directions. So I'm excited. And more TV. So that's why I'm really
I love television. It really is like my escape and just like even some shows that I've been watching that I'm not even going to talk about. I got back into, because I don't do cooking shows, but I stumbled across Emerald Cooks on Roku.
Roku be having them gems. You
on Roku. Okay. You can have Roku at this point. So I watch Emerald Cooks at night, like if I'm going to fall asleep. And it's Emeril Lagasse, you know? So he's just so genius with how he concocts recipes. He can literally cook anything, any and everything. And that's
and what he has a soothing voice. His voice is very
His light. Voice is soothing. Yeah, because he doesn't do the bam. You know, like he did that at the start of his career. But now he is very established. He is a restaurateur. Okay.
He's a man. Okay.
Yes. Like we had restaurants all over the world. And so this show, you actually see him just be chill. He's in New Orleans because that's where he's lived since college. And he's just cooking meals with farmers who farmed the ingredients, you know, like, so he sat
Farm down. To Cook, it's called. That's what I just learned. Farm to Cook. It's like, yeah, they get it.
Like, yes. I love so it's that. Like, it's sweet. So just shows like that, that just kind of put me in a place of like, oh, I feel happy to be home and watching television.
Yes.
It's weird, but that's why we have this show, because we like television.
Literally.
So with that, let's get into our weekly grab.
Okay. All right.
What's first on your list, best friend?
So first on my list is a favorite. We both talked about it. We both love it. It's Traitors on Peacock. I just caught up this morning because I've been so busy. I've been behind, but I was like, okay, I know the podcast today. I know I want to talk about it. I love that I didn't get any spoilers. I feel like some shows it's hard to like not be caught up on because it's always on, like Love right. is Blind. I kind of don't have to watch it because I feel like it's all over TikTok. So yeah. Like, I don't have to, but Traitors, I didn't really know what was happening. So spoiler alert, if you haven't watched it yet, the last episode was very interesting to me because I feel like everybody hates Peter and I don't know Peter. I don't know who I'm not a Bachelor girl.
Yeah, me neither.
But I love him on the show. I feel like he's like fighting with a vengeance. Like he's like a Power Ranger or something. I also low key want CT to be a traitor. I don't know why, but I want them to try to convert CT. I think CT would win if he was a traitor. I'm happy Parvati went home. I was just kind of, her whole speech, when she was going around the house, like, okay, so listen, I ain't get scared when my back's against the wall and this. And
that I was whole just, act was so, but I love that. Because what's his name? John, the politician.
The older guy, yes.
He was acting like he was eating it up. And he read right through every bit of it and then read her ass so politically and British-like at the round table. It was so good to see because at the same time, I was like, girl, you're forgetting. This man is a politician.
He knows.
Like, he lies for a living. He read her. He said, not trustworthy.
He said, everybody was begging for their life. You did not because you knew you were not going to go home. Mic drop. Mic drop.
Very, very much. I was really happy. I've been happy the last two episodes to see them. I said it from jump when Phaedra and what was his name?
Dan. Yeah, the traitor.
Recruited Poverty as the traitor. I knew from the jump that Dan and Poverty were going to get identified as traitors and get sent home. I was not expecting Dan to throw Phaedra under the bus during his elimination, which is the only reason people are suggesting Phaedra. I do think that she would have continued to go under the radar 100%. If Dan, but Dan was very strategic in what he did and how he did it. And yeah, it's annoying to see. I'm still rooting for Phaedra, but at the same time, it's such a good show. And it just makes you even more excited as you watch other shows and you're like, oh, they should be on season three of Traitors. They should be on the next season of Traitors. Cause it's like, yeah, like this is a good mashup of reality television of people of all kinds. They don't gotta be a villain. They could be, you know, cause, who's the one from Shaw's of Sunset? MJ.
She's so, she, nobody picked me. And I'm so, nobody picked me.
She's so funny. Me. I'm like more of a fan of her because of
this. I never even knew who she was, but she's like, nobody picked me.
Right. So it's then seeing all the Bravo celebrities tap out of the escape room was hilarious. They was like, Haggis. Phaedra said, oh, Haggis, get me out of here, Haggis. That was so
like, I don't like being in the woods alone where CT got.
Oh my gosh. Yes. The show ship, the showman's between Phaedra and CT.
I'm low key here for it.
It's like so cute. It's like, okay, I was not expecting this, but I'm like low key here for it.
He was like, you know, if she wanted, you know.
So the way I do see it, I'm very, first of all, I look forward to Thursdays. Like I'm always here for it. Yes. And I am interested to see how it's going to play out because I do think they're going to get Phaedra. They're going to get Phaedra because the target's already been put on her. Even if some kind of way Trishelle gets out, Peter already has his eyes. She already put the word out about Phaedra like she did with fucking Peppermint, but we'll get to that later. But I'm going to be interested to see, like, okay, so then what's going to happen? Because honestly, somebody, I saw a tweet and I was like, very true. When Poverty went home, Phaedra should have been able to kill someone and recruit a traitor.
Oh, I think once she recruits, so the ends, and I think if Kay accepts, I think then she kills some. I think they kill somebody afterwards, I think.
Okay. I think she should have been able to do it at once.
Oh, yeah.
Kill Trishelle and recruit Peter.
Yeah. No, but Kay is going to say yes, because Kay already said, I wanted to be a traitor.
Right.
So Kay is going to take it, and I think they might kill somebody once Kate says
kill
yes.
Trishelle, just for the hell of it.
Kill Trishelle. Yep.
Just kill Trishelle. Because I haven't liked her. I ain't even going to get into it yet. I am going to go into what's next, what's first on my weekly grab, which has nothing to do with stabbing people in the back. It is all about renovating your home. Battle on the Mountain on HGTV, my favorite channel. I love, love, love that channel.
Yes, I do remember going to a meeting about this show coming out. I don't remember anything else, but I was like, Joelle's going to watch it.
And I have. And it's amazing. You can bring that back to the meeting. Tell them, I love it. I love the diversity among the, so they bring together three teams of couples. I don't know if that's going to be every season, but this season it's couples. They have a gay couple. They got a Puerto Rican couple and a white couple. And then those three couples are assisted by judges who are from other, I don't even know if they have shows on HGTV, but they're just like experts in the field. And so they assist them. It's based in Colorado. They are on this mountain and they each were given a cabin home to renovate that they have to renovate to kind of match the essence of a vacation home in this mountain of Colorado, right? So you want to make it match this essence. You don't want to make it too modern because you see people lose challenges when it looks too modern. But at the same time, even as they were the first challenge, even you, the each challenge is broken up into a challenge. So let's say even like to select the houses, that was a challenge in itself. And then the gay couple won. So then they were able to pick the home there, get the first choice. And they did kind of get like the best one. So we see them win like the first two challenges where they had to renovate the kitchen and a bedroom. They won. But then when it came to the living room, the Puerto Rican couple actually got the worst house. Like their whole, the whole deck of, because they got last pick, the whole deck outside their house is like, they're going to have, that's going to take some time to renovate that. But
Colorado, you said? Where is it?
Colorado.
Okay. Yeah.
And they won the living room challenge because they did the best job. And then just the other couple, the husband and wife who just had a newborn, they won for like the guest room. The guest room in the bed.
So like her room is like a challenge.
Yes. So each week is per room. And then they'll have a judge from HGTV come, because Egypt and Mike, they came for two episodes. Egypt and Mike judged the living room and the bedroom. So each week you'll see judges. So that's what I love about it. Cause it's like, it's kind of like Rock the Block, where Egypt and Mike won season two of that show. They'll bring together just different. Rock the Block is where they bring together the other people that host shows on HGTV and they compete in designing homes. But this one, Battle on the Mountain, you're seeing them bring in two like new people that they just have this knack for flipping or interior design. So I love it. It's really fun.
That feedback that you like this show.
It's really nice even watching couples, because, you know, couples, like, we start to bicker with each other when it gets hot or whatever. So Mark started watching the last episode with me and he got into it. He was like, oh, I don't know. I think they should have did a different splash on the wall. You'll just be
splash.
Everybody has a bit of design in them. Everybody. If you are watching a show that it's like, you're going to get into it. You just have no choice. Mark was legit like, oh, I don't know. I think then when they were like, it's too modern, he was like, oh, I see how, yes, it's too modern. They should have played off of the wood walls.
Does he understand, you know, just the ambiance?
Right. Yes. No, but you know, you just get into it. You get into it. So it's good. It's good television. So you can bring that back to the meeting. I love the show.
The new show. I will say you have one great viewer and she is in the age range you are seeking. She said great
locked
job.
Locked in. I swear. I'm locked into every new show on HGTV. I'm about to be in Canada for the rest of the week. I leave on Wednesday. I don't know if they're gonna have HGTV, but I know when I travel, typically I will find HGTV and I just leave it. I
Put it
just leave
on.
it on. I leave it on the television on the hotel, and I'm fine.
We thank you so much.
Yes,
We
you're
thank you
welcome.
so much.
What's next on your weekly grab?
Next on my weekly grab is Mr. and Mrs. Smith on Amazon Prime.
Yes.
I did the first six. Like I said, I have a lot of TV to catch up to, but I really like it. It's
Okay.
like I was obsessed with the movie. I've seen the movie like over 10 times. It's
Great
one of those
movie.
movies. I was kind of not surprised with the whole affair thing because they had some energy in that movie. I was like, oh, steamy.
Oh,
Anyway,
right. The move, right.
yeah, Brad
Brad
Pitt.
Brangelina.
Yes, Brangelina. But the TV show is better because one, it's a black guy and an Asian girl. I love it. They look like they would date. Two is set in New York, it's set in Brooklyn, but it's more like they're set up as strangers and then
Right.
they like are acting married to it as Mr. and Mrs. Smith had like a different preference. So they kind of did like a play off of it. It's more current. It's funnier to me. I like the comedic aspect of it. But Donald fucking Glover is such a good actor. Like I
Yes.
never thought I would like take him seriously as like the romantic lead because I see him in Atlanta and he just really gives off like Mr. Smith and it's funny. It's a lot of action, a lot of like
I mean, I have
fight.
to continue it. We restarted episode one because it started off good. That first, even just the opening, the first 2 minutes with which I felt was like, is this like a play off of what you would expect from Mr. and Mrs. Smith? Because that couple was hot. I'm just being honest. The miss the you know Donald Glover and the wife is very like, okay, I guess they wanted to like make it relatable. I'll leave it at that. But it's also, it wasn't action packed. It was a suspense, but it was like that first episode, other than the big explosion at the end of the episode, it was just a lot of dialogue, which it's like, you know me. See, Tanae is into like dramas. I need something. You got to keep pulling me in, the zhuzh, the zhuzh, the zhuzh. And it doesn't have that. It's like a lot of build up. So you're kind of seeing like, oh, they're getting a little flirtatious, or oh, they're building something. And then it's like, oh, boom, back to this case that they need to solve. And then that even prolongs it, prolongs it, prolongs it until like towards the end, it's like, because we were like, what? That was it? Like with the package. And then they dropped it off and like, oh, boom, explosion. So I am, because I know my husband, Marcus checked out. If he doesn't, like, if you don't capture him from episode one, then he doesn't care. I'm going to continue to watch it. I just haven't gotten around to it because I just wasn't even that compelled by episode one. But I do think the acting is great. I think Donald Glover is an amazing, I love his multifacetedness. I love him as an actor. I like the music that he makes. I love him as a comedian. He's also funny. And yeah, I do think he's kind of tapping into like, because he's not so much of a sex symbol, but it's just like kind of like how he's delivering in this role with that masculine
It's a
energy.
different
Yeah, it's
energy.
like low-key sexy. It's like, I get it. Okay, cool. And you know, he worked out a little bit. He did his push-ups.
To your point, I think because it's a show and not the movie, they have to like make it go a little longer. So
Right.
I that they have to tell like a little bit of a background, but I have two more episodes.
Okay.
So
I think I can see how it is good though, because like I said, like the episode starts off really good, action packed, and it ends action packed. So I, like you said, I can see how they're probably gonna play into that throughout the rest of the season. So I'm still gonna check it out. I'll still check it out because yeah,
okay.
Amazon Prime has been doing it for me.
They've
They've
been doing
added
good.
shows. Yeah, they've been there. And you know, my show is coming back, The Boys. So I'm excited because that's my show. But yeah,
We
so
must back to you.
next on our weekly grab is a show I know we both watch. We love it. Queer Eye Season 8 on Netflix. This season, they are in New Orleans. Oh,
Yes.
so much.
I
It's
gotta
just,
finish that, but I'm
it's,
on
yeah,
episode three.
I haven't finished it. The last episode I just watched was with the black sister that plays the clarinet.
I just started that one. So I'm in the beginning
Yes,
when the
it's
daughter
just
just
so wholesome.
nominated.
But each episode, one, because you know, we met people from New Orleans. Like they're just good-hearted people. Everybody is so sweet in their own way. The ones that, yeah, Miss Doreen. Yes, Miss Doreen was one of my favorite episodes. The Kiss fan with his brother Duty.
Oh, it was so. He looked so. His transformation. I was like, you
He's
are handsome.
amazing. Right.
So
And I
handsome.
love how they still kept the essence of his love for Kiss, but just made it a little bit cleaner because it was, yeah, he
Let's
was.
not act like
Right.
we're in
Let's leave the 70s and
love.
come into modern times and bring Kiss with us. And the husband who's married.
Fantastic.
Right? He's so sweet. The one that eats raccoon.
That's fantastic. Oh my gosh. He was him and his wife.
Yes. Yes. Because that was a good episode to see too, because it's like, especially when you've been married for so long, you could forget that essence of you're supposed to still want to please your spouse. And they each kind of got into their own way of just like focusing on themselves after the kids left, and you kind of lose that romance.
It was so sweet. Yeah. And like, he took the picture. You could tell towards the end, he was on her. He was loving her. Mm-hmm. He really like loves his wife and he loves his family. Like,
yes, that was such a beautiful, but I this is why I love the show. I get excited every season. Is this the last season where they're going to have the home? Right. I'm sad.
Yeah.
I just love them together. I know they're going to find a good replacement who will match their vibe, because they're great guys, but I just love them together. Like,
I'm so used to them. I mean, yeah. I heard they were supposed to end at like 7. It was like drama between season 7 and 8. That's why it's so short. That's why I don't know if you recognize it. It's only 6. All the other seasons have at least 8 to 10. It's only 6.
They already beefing. The celebrity is starting a celebrity.
So we don't know who's who. We don't.
Because Karamo be getting his own deals. We already know Jonathan is a celebrity. He is on billboards out here. He got the hair care line.
He got a cookbook.
Tan does his thing with fashion. I need Tan. I need a Next in Fashion season 3. Where the F is it? But I did talk with the stylist, Jason Bolden.
Yes.
And he told me that he teased that the show is coming. It's coming back. So I'll be here for whatever they're going to do individually. But, and who's the one that cooks? Because he needs his own show. Mm. Anthony.
Yes.
He needs his own show. And you know, I watch it.
He just went through a breakup. So we're going to send him love. He was engaged and like right before the wedding, they like broke up. So.
Oh my God. That's right. He was going to. Oh, that's horrible. Ugh.
It was like days. I was like, oh.
I hope this isn't the last season, but it sounded like it might be.
Yeah, because then I'm thinking about the first group. They kind of like stood together. So I'm not sure if they're all going to like F it, we're too big, or they might just get somebody else and then close it off. But
right.
I'm gonna finish as soon as we're done with this, because I don't want it to be over.
I didn't know that was this next episode is the last episode. Damn, I didn't even notice that.
Super small.
What's next on your weekly grab? Or you have another?
Yes, I do. And this one is also on Netflix. And this is called The Trust.
I've been seeing it. Yeah.
A new kind of reality series. I'm up to the season finale. Basically, they just take a bunch of random people from all over the world. And they have like $200,000. They're like, you don't have to vote anybody out. Everybody can have some money. But along the line, there'll be tests and there'll be different type of avenues and things that you have to do to see if you can build the trust. So, of course, you know, in the beginning, everybody was like, yeah, we love each other. We're not going to do anything shady. And then they start playing the game.
Of course.
You can make moves and not like nobody knows you voted. So, like, I can vote you out and get everybody to vote you out, but you won't know. They'll be like, Jerozin's voted out. And so you start seeing alliances, like girls versus guys. There's two black queens. They gravitate towards each other, but they kind of play that boys versus girls game. Mm-hmm. And it comes to nip them in the bud. And they went from like hating everybody to needing everybody. And then they were like, damn, we need this vote. We're about to go home. So it's just super dramatic. Then you have this one princess girl who literally is one of those girls at the club who looks at people who are not cute or deemed big and doesn't let them in. She's like that girl. She grew up with nothing. She's conniving. She's already lying. She's using one of the cute guys to be like her little like ploy. But she's like, I came from nothing. I do not care. Money is everything. So she's like, and then you have this other sweet country guy who will never lie, never cheat. He is like, yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. I did that. Like, he's very honest. He don't want to cheat, but he's like, I'm about my team. Like, it's just such a good, interesting show.
Especially with all the different personalities.
Yes. And it's like, the one old lady, she was like, you want $50,000? You want to keep playing? She's like, give me that money. I'm out. So it's just like, if you want a different type of like reality show, I think
it could be a different. I've been thinking about checking it out. I'm going to check it out.
It's good. It's good because it's new characters. And it's like, it's not getting as much like love, but I think it's a good show. I think you would like it. I think you would
Check it out. I don't know. It's not a competition show. So I'm on Peacock and watching Couple to Thruple. Me and my husband, we watch it together. So pretty much you are seeing, what is it, like 3-4 couples look for a third, and they bring in these singles that are open to it. They're open to poly relationships. And you're just seeing these dynamics because some people are acting like they're on board. Then as soon as it starts to happen, the insecurities start to show. It's diverse. They have a gay couple. The gay couple been getting it in every night. Like, nobody's having more sex than the gay
different
couple.
Different people or each other?
No, no, no. So they have one that they are, and I was thinking they were going to swap because they get a chance to swap for someone else, but they didn't swap. They kept their partner. Even though like one of them was starting to show us big signs of jealousy at the start of it. Another couple, the woman, they've been together like 10 years, and the woman even claimed, like, you know, she's bisexual, but you're just seeing her be very uncomfortable at times with the boyfriend being with the girl. But I think it stems from in the past, they were going to have like a threesome and she walked out the room. And when she came back, they were already getting it in. So she has like insecurities over that. One married couple, they've been married like 5 years. They've been together like 10. They are into this. You could tell they are down, but I think they are more, they just like having, you know, little trysts, like little threesome. Yeah. I don't really see them so much wanting to bring someone in as their third partner. And then there's the one couple, the black couple, I'm gonna just be honest. Me and my husband think that they're not even together. I think that they are friends and they just kind of did because they're not even showing no chemistry as a couple, let alone.
Are you picking someone to sleep with or someone to like be your partner?
To like be your partner and like see if you'll mesh. Cause like the first girl they picked, the black couple, like she actually is a poly counselor. Like she counsels couples to do this, but she just started coming off so possessive. And it was like a little weird. Like, it was just like, whoa, like, what is this? And it turned the girl off. And she was like, when it was time to swap, she was like, swap. And the person that we thought they were going to pick to be their new partner, even Mark thought, they didn't pick her. They picked someone else. But that girl, her name was Peaches. Her attitude when she didn't get picked came out crazy. And I was like, see, you wouldn't even know. That's that crazy shit right there. That's that crazy shit. But yeah, like it's just super, super interesting to watch, especially if you're a couple. So me and my husband have been watching it. Very, very interesting show. Mm-hmm. Couple to Thruple on Peacock. I could totally see them having a season 2 for sure.
Now I think I might watch that. I haven't seen it.
Oh no, you got to watch it because it's all kinds of everybody. Like there's a queer, the queer community is represented. So they down like, who wants to pick me? Cause I'm ready. Then some of the girls who don't get picked, they start getting it in. You actually could even see how like two of the girls who like one, like the 2/3, the one that she's a poly coach. And then another one who got picked by the married couple, but it didn't work out. They swapped on her. It seemed they were clearly more into the female spouse than the male spouse. And then they ended up getting it in. So it's just, it's a very interesting show and it helps you even understand the dynamics of sexuality and to not put people into a box because there's no box to put people in on this show.
Nope. They are getting it in.
Yeah.
They just call it getting it in.
Getting it in on Peacock. Yeah, pretty much. That's it.
Wednesdays at 8.
Okay. Well, it's on Thursdays. And Mark was so mad. He's like, oh, we got to wait till Thursday? Because then when I went to go watch the latest episode, I was like, oh, Traitors, sorry. Priorities. Okay. I'm sorry. I got to watch Traitors and then we'll get to Couple to Thruple.
Then we'll get to the Thruple. Get it in.
What's next on your weekly grab?
Last on my list is just a dope show. Another Netflix one, the Vince Staples Show. I was very confused about it, but somebody said it's like Atlanta meets Curb Your Enthusiasm. And that's exactly what it is. So it's funny. The realest, blackest thing I've seen in a long time. You live in LA, I've lived in LA, so there's certain things I understand about like his friend being locked up and singing to him the entire
time. Oh my gosh. I've seen clips so far on Twitter. I haven't watched it, because I think I want to watch it with Mark. It looks so funny because I'm a fan of Atlanta.
Yeah,
I'm also a fan of Dave. It gives Dave vibes as well. Curb Your Enthusiasm, like I'm into that, and it's. I just saw the scene in the jail and the bank robbery, and I was.
It had me on the floor, but it's. I wish it was longer, but it's literally like 4 episodes, I think, maybe 5. It's like
there's a pilot season.
Hopefully they do
more
that.
For season 2 because it's being well received.
It was so funny, so
and
different.
He's so in his element because he's always been that. Like, because it's like his music wasn't like he had his cult fan base, but his music isn't like really big. You know, people don't really know Vince Staples songs, but his interviews would go more viral.
Yeah,
because he just said like random funny shit, like something about like Ray J being like a goat because he's like, think about all the power Ray J got, and then like when he breaks it down, it's like, wait, that actually makes sense. Like,
Ray J is bigger than Obama, honestly.
Yeah, like, right. So it's like to see him bring that same, because that's just who he is, bring that same energy to a show. I think it's very on brand.
He's such a good actor. You would love it. He's funny. And like, I could watch it again because it was that, especially family reunion. If someone has a family reunions, like could see my aunts getting mad about the macaroni and cheese and too many people cooking it. Like, I just felt that
Yes, that's such a Black thing. Like, that's very us.
What? Like, how you gonna make the macaroni and cheese? I'm making my...
Right.
Listen.
There's a video that goes around, especially like every summer at Thanksgiving. It's like the aunties, the elder aunties having a meeting about the potato salad. Like, and they are so serious concerned. And they're like, and so the one younger niece is recording it and she put over there. She's like, they debating over the potato salad. Who brought it? People don't understand how serious it gets.
We don't play with our food. Okay. We don't play with our food. And that's it. We don't play with our food.
Right. So I will definitely be checking out the Vince Staples show because, yeah, it seems really, really funny. Last of my weekly grab is my new favorite show on Bravo, Southern Hospitality. Yes. I have been considering checking it out because I've just been seeing little things on the Twitterverse. And I'm like, okay, this seems really messy. And that's my alley. So I finally caught it. It's hilarious because Season 2 just wrapped. The season finale just aired, and I caught up with the whole season 2.
So short thing.
No, they're hour-long episodes, but No. It's only, how many episodes was it? I think, is it 12? Like 9 to 12, but I watched all of them in like 3 days. Because it's, I'm just now watching season 1 and getting introduced to all of them. But it's good. So I'm a Vanderpump Rules fan. I mean, I'm fading out like everybody else because now the show is whack. But the essence of how Vanderpump Rules started is just still top tier to me. And that is now what you get in Southern Hospitality. It is based around a business, The Republic, that used to make guest appearances through Southern Charm because they are in Charleston, South Carolina. And so The Republic is owned by Leva Bonaparte. She looks, I don't know exactly what she is. She looks, you know, I don't know. She gives, I don't know, like Persian kind of vibes. Her husband is Black. They own 4 restaurants and then this nightclub on the same block within this strip in Charleston. She's a boss. She's a boss ass bitch. So she hires these young, hot people to work in her restaurant, but it is a diverse crowd, which, you know, you didn't get that on Vanderpump Rules. And, you know, it's exactly still the essence of what that was. They're young, they're horny.
And they're ready to fight.
They're still figuring themselves out. They're sleeping with each other. They're cheating on each other. They're lying. They're stabbing each other in the back. And what I also like about it is because with Vanderpump Rules, the one thing that was clear, especially because they, you know, was based in L.A., they all wanted to get on. Like, why else are you moving to L.A., right? Like, you want to be a model, an actress, a singer, da 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 da. These kids, they're in Charleston. They are regular people. Like, they are not
going to be them.
Even when I went to their TikToks, they're super regular. They might not even really have a lot of followers because they're just very regular people. You got Joey Bottles. He just wants to be like the top bottle boy in Charleston. I mean, I can see him getting his career up to like now do parties, but they're really young. They're only like 22 years old, 24. Yeah. You got Maddie. She's originally from New York. And now she's in Charleston. She's sober. She doesn't drink or do drugs because she started very early. She was drinking when she was 12. She started doing like recreational, like other drugs, and it got really bad. She went to rehab. So now she doesn't do anything. She is passionate. She wants to be a DJ. She wants to be like the next James Kennedy, who makes a guest appearance. But at the same time, and she reminds me of like someone we know where she's in a like a toxic relationship with somebody who just repeatedly cheats on her. And so you see how that impacts her friendships with the rest of the group, because people as a friend, you just want the best for your friend.
Right.
But to them, it could come off as like you're hating and now you're not my friend anymore. And so now you're seeing the dynamic shift between her and her coworkers, because they're all just like, leave this guy. He's disgusting. But she's like sticking beside him. And you'll see how that plays out throughout season two, because the season starts where basically he made out with someone who is a client of one of her coworkers, Brad. And Brad has it out for Maddie, because in season one, and this is what I'm catching up to now, she told his girlfriend, now ex-girlfriend, that she saw him get a fellatio in the alleyway. And it wasn't true. It kind of comes out this season that she kind of fabricated it because nobody else can support those claims. So now him and her, Brad and Maddie, just don't really get along. Yeah, and it's kind of like
a big lie.
He feels like he's trying to ruin her relationship, and he feels like, well, you ruined mine. And there's that. But then at the same time, Maddie and then Emmy, they started as friends. Maddie's the one that brought Emmy into Republic. But now Emmy is seeing how Maddie's slacking on the job because Maddie's so up her boyfriend, her cheating boyfriend's ass, and wanting to be a DJ. So Emmy starts to step up. She wants to be a manager because Maddie's the manager of the VIP. And yeah. Emmy ends up becoming a manager over Maddie. So now it's like a power dynamic. So now Maddie don't like Emmy, and Joey Bottles is mad at Emmy because they're jealous that she got this major promotion. So it's just really, really interesting, on top of the fact that it's like I said, it's like they're diverse, they're young, it's juicy, and it's only two seasons in. So I'm just like trying to rally all of like the Vanderpump rulers, because VBR is done. It was already done.
If it hadn't
been through for Scandoval last season, there was literally nothing else left after they did the big cut with everybody over the racism and all that crap. I am ready for the transition to the Valley, just because it just makes more sense, right? Like they are in more adulthood, they're married or whatever. It's going to have Jax, and Jax is just a hot mess. Like, he is just good television. So I'm here for what's going to happen on that show. I'm going to be checking for that. But Vanderpump Rules, I've watched two episodes this season, and I'm just like, I'm done. I'm checking out. Go to watch Southern Hospitality. That's where it's at. The juice is over there in Charleston. So
the juice is in South Carolina.
Yes. So that's it. That's what we can grab. So now let's start to drag people in our piss poor performance.
Peace out.
Who you dragging first?
I'm dragging Lisa from the Real Housewives of Miami, because like, I'm so tired of you, Lisa. Like, get it together, Lisa. Like, what's wrong with you, girl? Like, she's just so annoying. Like, I hope she's watching this, and I hope at the reunion she like sees how she looked, because sometimes you have to see.
Right.
Maybe she was just too much in it, but like, everything has to go into Lenny. You can't give nobody any type of space for empathy. Nobody else can take up the room. And like, people feel sorry for you, and people like want to be there for you, but you're also like absorbing all of this energy and all of this space for somebody who does not want you. And you got a man. If I was Jody, I would have been like, nah, sis, you got to call me when you over this. Because everything is about this. And your ego. I know you a Leo, sis. From Leo to Leo. I know. It's that pride.
Right.
I get it, sis.
Can I just say, the signs were always there that she was annoying. I would say, because, you know, I never watched the early season, so I don't know. I don't even know if she was on. I've only started since the reboot. And it was clear as day that Lenny wasn't into her, but it was also clear that she was looking for this validation from him. And I peeped that from jump. So it's like, your whole life to me is pretty much Lenny. And that's corny to me. Like, I just don't see you standing on your own as a woman. So now with them going through the divorce, I think it's all just coming more to the light because, yeah, she is very extremely self-absorbed. She brings everything back to her. And then a lot of even the things that she's saying and doing to the to other people, it's showing more of her true character, which is like you are a privileged little white woman where it's like, girl, we don't know much about your upbringing. All we know is that you became this from Lenny. I'm reading through the Twitterverse and the grapevines that you was a high-end escort. And that's how he met you, which I'm not surprised because that's clearly what he goes for. And yes, he saved you. And then that's how you moved from Canada to, well, no, they met, I think, in Vegas. And then she became this housewife in Miami. So I just like this privilege, like that was coming out on that gondola, that boat ride, when the way she was like, oh my God, she disgusted me with her behavior when she was throwing the meat at the dogs and then saying, it's a lot better than what they have, I'm sure. Like, trust me. And then when Kiki says something to her, you stand up. It's like that where we sense it's like a microaggression. You have a little bit more umph ready for a woman of color, a dark skinned woman. But you don't bring that same energy when Larsa's ass calls you out, when Alexia calls you out. And it's just like, girl, miss us with that, with your plastic ass face. I would say the biggest disappointments for me this season have been Lisa and Larsa, the plastics.
Yeah.
I do think that Larsa redeemed herself a little bit in these last two episodes, but I'm still on that ass, bitch. I don't trust you. Same. Not one bit. You are very selfish and self-centered. But yeah, I agree. I see why you're dragging her.
Yeah, so Lisa, get it together.
Get it together, please.
Sweet.
I am dragging Jay on the challenge for being a bitch ass MF. Honorable mention also of Olivia and Mariah. Mariah, you've been a little bitch ass the whole time over some dude. He don't care about you, boo-boo.
He's going
right back to the UK to be with whoever he was already with. You did all of that. I just can't believe that everybody's talking about it online of how outside of Nerisse, this is the most carried season of people to a finals ever in the challenge history. But back to Jay, you know, I felt sorry for you with his first season, remember, because it was like, you know, he was showing how hard and dedicated, like he was, you know, really into the game. And then he beat CT.
Mm-hmm.
But then he ended up getting beat later because he didn't make it to the finals. But I was like rooted for him. I was like, I was rooted for his return. Only for him to come back this season and for us to really see the essence of who he truly is. Like, you are a manipulator. You're very feminine-like with how you play the game. He works to turn and twist people against each other, which primarily he does through women.
Ugh.
And it's just not respectable at all. I can't believe this one, CT, you had one job. He sent your ass home before. Why would you come back and pick us off? When CT did that, I was so confused. I could have swore he was going to pick Jay.
He was like, it's not personal. I just don't know you. But it might as well have been Jay because Jay
took it. Why didn't he pick Jay? Jay sent you home before. And that would have been the perfect chance to send Jay's ass home. It would have been
so crying like it was his mother.
That's from there on. It was like the buildup. Like Jay, the bitch assness just started coming out more and more.
You don't care about me. You don't care about my friend. You don't care about a fit.
But what I will say, to see the way he got sent home by Corey was so redeeming. So I'll give it that because he's been such a disappointment to watch all season. But the way Corey sent his ass home in like 1, 2, 3, like he did it. Boop, boop.
Check.
Like you was not ready for no, you wasn't ready for no elimination. Take your ass home.
And to watch Nerisse pretty self, just watch.
Yeah. So now I just love that he is a villain. I'm sure you know they're gonna bring him back, but now it's like he knows what it is. We don't rock with your ass, bitch ass.
And that Olivia, falling off that
rock. Olivia, you big disappointing nose. I'm so disappointed in her. I don't care if she tried to redeem herself toward... No, no, no. Because you cried all season about Horatio. Like, oh, he doesn't care. He doesn't care about our friendship. Nerisse already got a hint from her brother that she was talking smack and that you were going to stab her in the back. And as soon as you got a chance, you stabbed them in the back. Fake. Fake, fake, phony ass fake. However, I do think that both Olivia and Jay would be great for the traitors.
Yes. Yes. I see that. I see that. And I want
Narissa. Not Mariah.
No, Mariah is just dumb TV.
She's so dumb. I cannot believe she made it to the damn end, but I can't believe Mariah. I can't believe Colleen made it. I can't believe Corey made it. I can't. I'm like, what's the one from Argentina? Oh, I don't like him. Oh, I don't like him. Yeah. I didn't know you was a bitch ass like that. I did not know you was a bitch ass like that. You have so much energy for women and nothing for men. Take that ass back to the up.
Narissa has to win. I want to see if we can get Narissa on the show.
Now we can go into our yes. And I'll just keep mine short because that's who my yes is for, Narissa. Come on, baby. She was pissing me off a little bit during the season, but only because, like, she's very much like me. Like, she's passionate, and you trying to play me, and I'm not with that because I'll beat your ass. But to see her standing on her own, she sent her man home. She sent her friend home. She sent everybody home. And for her to be so tiny and petite and have so much fire and fight as a challenger, it's just very inspiring to see. So I think we're all rooting for Narissa. I'll be so sad if she doesn't end up being the winner. But, yeah, I hope you give, because I can't remember Argentina, but him right now, he has it too easy. He got it too easy. He's going against all these girls and Corey. It's fucked up.
Yeah, I hope he loses too. Narissa for president 2024. Mm-hmm. And my yes just goes to Abbott Elementary because it's back and it's funnier than ever.
So funny. Oh my gosh, yeah.
Nick Sr., aka Tariq, is my life. I'm so happy.
I caught up just last night. First of all, I'm so happy they found a way to keep him in the show.
I'm so happy they found a way to not keep it with Janine, but keep him on the show. My child is ex trying to spin it.
Because when he's around, he's like, Janine, please. Because I'm trying to come back into my life.
I know they were like, we need to keep him on the show, but we need to keep him away from, like,
yes,
perfect, because him and Barbara together, every child needs a village, but some villages have a Tariq.
Oh my gosh. Then Barbara, where she was like, she used to listen to the towned women and the one is
City
like,
Girls.
City Girls. She was like, and she was like, pull out the Napster, pull out the, get it going.
Walkman, go get the Walkman.
Get the Walkman. Pull out the Napster. Get it going. He was like, get your iPhone. Turn on Spotify.
It's just so good. Yes. It's so funny. Of course, it's already renewed. I do like the new energy. I like the, like, will they, won't they story. Like, it's very Office to me. I love that they're, like, playing with that. But Abbott can never do no wrong. Keep it coming.
No. And again, because, you know, I'm always about just advocating for what the bigger message is. Even seeing how Janine is now on the school district, and just seeing the issues that she's facing as it relates to funding, and how the lane she has to go through to get something done that is needed to get a kid ASL. It's crazy. But these are the things that we as public school students dealt with. And then now to see on the other side with our teachers that was coming to work every day to basically raise
underpaid, making it, not campaign rent.
Yes. Yes, and teaching us rowdy-ass giant classrooms. I had classrooms of like 30-something students. Crazy. Yeah. One little woman, one man, teaching all these rowdy New York City school kids. And this is in Philly. Like, this is what it is like across the board public school system. So I really just love Abbott for amplifying that. And
bringing back Tariq, because we love Tariq.
Yes! Okay.
I gotta be our handshake.
So now, of course, we saved the best for last because we've been gone, but Drag Race has still been going on. Okay. I've been keeping notes. Our show has still been being fabulous. I would say this is one of the best seasons in a long time. Really, it's bringing the fashion, the beauty, the drama. Like, the shade is real this season. I'm here for it. I'm loving the guest judges that have been coming. They've been bringing their own essence as well.
Very relevant. Very relevant. Very real. No duds. All bringing something to the light. Like,
so let's get into so far who's been eliminated throughout the episodes since our last show. So we have Hershey, who was number one.
With them ugly ass pants.
Not surprised, baby. Not surprised. Mirage was number two, which I do believe if Mirage would have just let Safira get the role of hosting the show, she would have been good. But you wanted to fight for it. And Safira was like, okay. And she started second guessing herself, and boom, your ass got sent home.
Mirage would have did so much better with a team. She needed that support.
Exactly. Support you were trying to stand out too early, mama, and you got your ass sent home. I know she regrets it.
Yeah.
Amanda Tori.
A drag queen. That's a growth, because she should have known I'm not ready yet. All Stars. We'll see you at All Stars.
Right. A mandatory meeting. We knew that. I actually thought she was going to last a little longer, because even though her makeup is jacked and she has to work on her look, she has that uniqueness, nerve, and talent. Like, she has the personality. She has the zhuzh. So she just really got to work.
She's already been getting better. I've been looking at her interviews and like her promo. She's taking the notes.
So I'm here for her to make a return as part of All Stars, you know, because she deserves a redemption. Geneva Carr, who just got sent home.
Yeah,
we knew that was happening. She was in the bottom the last like couple of episodes.
She did an interview. She said, I just felt like it was my time. She was like, I just felt like I was going home. So like, I was okay with it. And I was like, yeah, we all did too.
We did. We knew. So now, who are the most standout queens to you?
So I love Miss Cristal, Miss Safira Cristal. I think she's amazing. I think Nymphia might be like our first kind of Asian winner. Nymphia gives top three. She gives like, I'm a gift cool. She gives very Willow Pill, like Evie Oddly, like Sleep On Me. I'm not going to be the loud one. I'm not going to be rude. I'm going to be kooky. But every time it's a challenge, she could dance. She could sing. She could style. She got like, so I'm like, don't sleep on Nymphia. Mm-hmm. And I go back and forth about Dawn. She's like a young little brat, but she is talented.
Yes. So
those are like my top like three that are like sticking out. What about you?
Same. Definitely. So I'm here for Safira. I really just love all of what she brings, like challenge after challenge.
Very mother.
Very runway after runway. I was cracking up. It was one runway and she came out and RuPaul said, come on, Slewfoot.
And you know exactly what she was doing.
She's so Slewfoot, but she be still turning it out with those slewed ass feet. Of course, Nymphia win, like, hello. And I love the essence. I love when a drag queen could own a color. Like really, really own a color and make it really work and not be corny. Because who was the one orange? The ones who's orange, that was seasons ago. And it was like play off of like fire or red or something. You know who I'm talking about though. But it's like, so she didn't always deliver.
Oh, Tina Burner.
Yes, Tina Burner. Hilarious. Tina Burner, Tina Burner. She did not always... She didn't always do it, but Nymphia really does it with the yellow. And I love how she tries to play coy and like, nah. But now everybody got her figured out. Like, bitch, sit your ass down. We already know you're about to slay. And Q and Dawn. Mm-hmm. Only thing with Q, she doesn't, like, I really liked her in the RuPaul Live or whatever, the RNL, the playoff of SNL. I thought she should have won that challenge as the brick wall. But I just don't think that she really delivers in each challenge. So that's the only thing. But runway wise, she delivers. I'm here for it. And I do like Dawn. I even just like Dawn's personality and her essence. It's funny because when we had our first episode, remember you were saying Dawn was coming off as like the little bitchy one throwing shade. But now we see it's plain Jane. It's like girl, bye, you know, but it's okay. I don't think Plain is going to win, so it's fine. It's just adding some spice to the season, but it's like, it's very unnecessary at times.
It was hilarious when she was just like, she's in her congenial era. Sis, you will never be in your congenial era.
It lasted 8 seconds.
Girl, too. You were being generous.
Even later. To see when she starts second guessing herself in a challenge, so her defenses just go around picking with people. It's just like,
yeah, you can tell, like, she doesn't have, like, you know how queens usually stay close. I feel like they'll just tolerate her for promo reasons, but she's not going to be probably on the tour. She's probably not going to be.
No, because, people don't like you.
Yeah.
So now let's get into these runway categories. What has been your favorite so far?
I really liked the ball challenge. I liked when they did the, they had to make it out of the materials. Mm-hmm. I like the wig one when they had the short little.
Oh, yes.
Pussycat wigs.
Yes, that one was really good. They said Monet Exchange would like a word. Okay.
I love that one. Mandatory meeting. I was like, I don't get
girl,
it.
Girl, yeah. And that's why her ass went home. Because I was like, wait, what?
And this last one with like flowers and then like that. Oh, being the-
I can buy myself flowers. Top tier. Runway. Everyone. I mean, I will say, and I could tell, you could tell who's kind of like, who's the one from Miami that does the flips?
Girl, you got to get out of my brain. I was about to say Morphine Love Dixon is so basic with everything.
It's very basic.
It's not bad. You know, it's just basic. Like, it's right. Very like flowers. She don't think outside the box. The bathing suit one, like the prompt is the prompt. She's never going to try to get
Sephira and Nymphia and Q. It was just like, oh my gosh, I'm gobsmacked. But Night of 1,000 Shares, that was also like a favorite for me. I loved seeing all of them come out. There were some similar looks, but for the most part, it was just so exciting to see like, okay, how are they gonna, first of all, Cher is a fashion icon. And if you didn't know, watch that episode of Drag Race. Cause it's just a reminder of like Cher, been that bitch before Rihanna, before Lady Gaga. Okay. Cher was her, is her.
I feel like what didn't help Mirage is that she had the 60s hair with the 70s outfit.
Right.
Because me and you don't know that shit, but everybody kept pointing that
and
out.
And don't do that in front of RuPaul, of all people. She was like, there. Yeah. She was like, there.
That's the wrong hair. For the wrong
that's like me seeing you in, if I see you in the Oops, I Did It Again red cat suit with the pigtails from, Baby One More Time, I would be like, what?
Yeah, get your
Britney eras together.
Yeah.
That's a disservice. So,
I think that's what really sent her home. It was the wit. Knowing the word. And then you could tell.
And then she didn't know the words.
It was painful to watch because she was like it was painful.
There's just certain things at this point you know not to do on Drag Race, and you know not to get up there and not know the words to the lip sync.
Because you know they give them all those songs.
Not to, I mean, Mimi, whatever the hell, Miami, just made it. Because you also know, do not take off your shoes.
LaMaya Iman LaBeige, what did you call her?
Mimi, my love, Miami. What's her name?
Mimi, my love. I was like, who?
What's her name?
LaMaya Iman LaBeige. Okay. That's Tamisha Iman's daughter.
LaMaya Iman LaBeige. Child, I said Mimi LaMaya Miami. So now let's let's just end with who do we think has a chance to win?
I would love to see an Asian queen take it. I was watching Candace Drag Race and I thought the queen on there was gonna take it, but she didn't. But I'm rooting for Nymphia Sephira. Is it Sephira? Sorry, I'm
Sephira.
Sorry.
Sephira.
Those two. Those are the only two that are tickling my fancy.
I agree. As much as I love Sephira, you know, I'm rooting for her for sure. I do think we need an Asian queen. And so I'm rooting for Nymphia to win and then Sephira to come in second runner up, but then come to All-Stars.
Do a Shea Coulee. Ooh, yes. Okay. Real quick, who you think is going home next? Did you see the preview for next episode? I didn't. Do you know what next
episode? Miami LePage.
What's next episode? Is it Snatch Game? Did you see?
Yes, definitely Mimi LaMaya LaPage. Because she don't know. She barely made it when, what was the Cher? When they had her do a Cher. She was like, that's right. she only got by because it was so hot mess and made them laugh. So now let's see who she's going to try to act like during Snatch Game. I already know her ass is going home because the runway ain't that strong. You can't act. It's just, it's your time is up. That's great. No.
The door is closed.
That's great.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
Okay. So let's wrap it up on some positivity.
After that shade, that's what we need. Y'all, I'm sorry.
It was a fact, though. You know I'm not lying.
I can't wait to the next episode when we talk about this, her going home, because I'm gonna.
That's great.
You better remember that. Show into my quote.
What's your quote?
Yes. Try to Be a Rainbow in Someone Else's Cloud by Sister Maya Angelou.
I love that.
I'm just thinking about La Maya Iman the Bay.
Okay. All right, I'm gonna go with this one. It's Never Too Late to Be What You Might Have Been by Pinterest. And on that note, our closing slogan is
love, abundance, and hair bundle from Pinterest.
Bye.